This is Kulturpiloterne on Nova FM. It's kind of strange saying something in Danish and something in English. In the studio, we have Alan Wilder showing a movie called Recoil tomorrow night, as mentioned earlier. Alan, you also recorded, is it a year or two ago? Or am I
the
wrong?
Talk Talk thing?
Yeah.
Yes. What's been happening over the last 2 years is that aside from my Recoil work, I've also been working as a musical supervisor for an album called Spirit of Talk Talk, which is in tribute to the band Talk Talk, and it features 30 artists on a double album that have all recorded tracks, you know, Talk Talk songs, including Recoil. I've done two myself with some various vocalists. And along with that is a book. In fact, the book came first and the album kind of followed. I was just asked to do a cover version, but then the organizer realized that he needed my skills as a supervisor. So, you know, that's what I've got more and more involved in it. And it's a really interesting album, actually, much better than most cover version albums, I have to say. And on Saturday, we're also doing another event in the afternoon before all the Recoil stuff happens in the evening.
Yeah.
There's a talk with me in the Copenhagen's main library. And I'm just going to be, you know, telling people a bit more about the album. We've got some videos being shown and some of the CDs will be on sale there. And just a nice little event, you know, another thing that's happening on the same day. So, but, to, you know, just to tell you about that album a bit more, it's
If it's okay, you can explain why you chose Talk Talk. It's,
They kind of chose me, you know. I was asked to get involved, you know, would I be interested in I think the guy that organized it, Toby Benjamin, he basically Googled anybody and found anybody that's ever said they liked Talk Talk, and then he got in touch with them. And of course, somewhere along the line, I've said, oh, I'm a bit of a Talk Talk fan. And of course, they are a really interesting group because they started off quite similar to Depeche Mode. They were actually compared to Duran Duran, although they're nothing like Duran Duran. But anyway, they came up in that new romantic time, early 80s. And we would run into them occasionally at TV stations and whatever. But their music changed radically over time and they became less, more and more obtuse, more and more, you know, anti-establishment, music establishment. And they really stuck two fingers up to the whole industry and said, we're going to make just the music we want to make. And it became more and more avant-garde and more strange and sold less and less copies. They fell out with their record company, EMI, quite in a big way, you know. But they didn't care, and they made two or three fantastic albums that have gone on to be very influential, particularly amongst musicians. And this is why so many musicians have said, yeah, we want to contribute to this. We love them too, you know, and we're going to do a cover version.
Yeah, because if I think back, I can kind of like mention three or four Talk Talk songs.
Yeah.
So a double album with how many tracks?
30 tracks, yeah.
That's kind
a bit
of
too many, actually, in my view, but yeah. That was an argument I had to have. But no, it's a great album. Yeah. I think really good. Some really good stuff on there.
Yeah. How long did it take to make this?
Well, I mean, obviously, I wasn't involved in producing every track or anything like that. I did remix one other track for the album, but I did my two Recoil songs, which take me ages because everything I do takes me ages. But the whole project has been like a 2-year project, and I've been dipping in, just giving feedback, saying, oh, well, you know, we need to change this, or this is fantastic, you must use this, maybe this one's not so good, you know, that kind of thing. And just overseeing the mastering process, make sure it all sounds cohesive sonically and that kind of thing.
Alan, maybe you could tell me a bit about this theory I have, that Recoil back in the 80s was kind of like ahead of its time technological view.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know, but the way I'm trying to say this is that as music and the way we consume music now, we can download it and everything, and you know, a track doesn't have to be like 4 minutes to be played on the radio. But back in the 80s, you did something that was out of normal, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, you did tracks that couldn't be played on radio because they were too long, kind of like.
You mean Recoil or?
Yeah, Recoil, yeah. I mean Recoil now.
Yeah.
And so you were kind of it's difficult for me to explain. But you were way ahead of your time back then. You know, other musicians were recording single tracks.
By not getting played on the radio. I mean, I know what you mean. I didn't really care that much whether the music got played on the radio, you know, because radio was always very difficult and still is really to get through on, you know. It's quite a narrow field of vision quite often. Obviously, there are exceptions to that, but sort of mainstream radio is I kind of washed my hands of it a long time ago, to be honest. But with the, yes, with the advent of the internet and social networking and other ways to put your music out and promote yourself all those things, I've embraced all of that for sure. And there are other ways to get your music to people. That this is true. I spend a lot of time cultivating and, as I say, embracing those that are interested to get involved in the project. And this film, actually, to come back to that for a moment, really encapsulates that whole idea, because it's all fan-led, it's all fan-driven. People that really wanted, and same with the stage film we used, they're all people that wanted to be involved with me and wrote to me, and I kind of welcome them in. If I feel that someone's got some talent and something to offer, I'll kind of say yes. You know, it goes back to what I was saying about music and collaborators. I'm always looking for performances, and this is the same thing. You know, I'm always looking for contributions, people that can help along. You know. So, yeah, social networking and networking and the internet is perfect for an artist like myself.
Yeah, because now you don't need a record company. You can possibly
publish. Well, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah, we could carry on for ages on that one, yeah.
Yeah, but like if Recall was started out now in 2012, it would have been much easier, I think, in some way.
Possibly, yes, yeah. Possibly, yeah. And the whole business has changed so much, as we all know, and there's a lot more do-it-yourself, you know, approach from musicians, although it's not for everybody. Not all musicians are able to be organized. I pride myself on being organized and being able to sort of oversee things, but not every musician. And even I suffer from that, because it means I have less time to actually go and make the music, which is what I really should be doing. So, you know, there's a trade-off there.
Yeah. If you have to be on record company.
If you're trying to be your own record company, promote yourself, market yourself, it takes a lot of time and effort, yeah. And so, yes, you can eradicate the record company, perhaps. But it's better to have... I mean, I like to think I've got a team of people that work with me and work for me and help me, and that we kind of do the job, you know. But and then I oversee it, you know. Yeah.
Alan, we need to play a track of your choice. Any suggestions?
Well, do you want to play something from the Talk album?
The tribute album?
Yes.
That would be great. Yeah.
We could, if you want to play a Recall track, or it doesn't have to be, it could be by someone else. Yeah.
I think it should be a Recall track when you're here. It's okay.
Well, one of the tracks on the Talk album is called Inheritance, that I covered. And it features two different vocalists. You've got Linton Kwesi Johnson, who's quite a well-known dub poet. He was very big in the sort of late 70s in England, and he's still going now. And we kind of got him, dragged him out of the woodwork, and made him come and do some vocals on this track. He didn't really know anything about Talk, but it was explained to him about the project, and he said, "Okay, I'll do it." So we recorded him, and he does the spoken word element of this track. And then there's another singer called Paul Marshall who does the sung part. So when you hear the track, you'll know what I'm talking about. And initially, I wasn't going to even tackle this, because this is one of their later works. And when I was asked about doing cover versions for Talk, my first reaction was, "Oh God, you can't, sacrilege! You can't touch that stuff." You know, I'll do an early track, because at least there's room for improvement, perhaps on production side. But I was talked into doing this particular song, so here we go. I won't go on about it anymore. You can have a listen. It's called Inheritance.
April song. flow. When it gets my heart out. When it gets my heart out. Nature's son, don't you know where life has gone? Burying progress in the clouds. How we learn to linger on. Head in sand, expecting the dawn. To redress with open arms. Ascension in incentive. When it gets my heart out. When it gets my heart out. Nature's son, don't you know how life goes on? Desperately befriending the crowd to incessantly drive on. Dress in gold, so enduring.
When it gets my heart.
Heaven bless you, my gentle friend.
When it gets my heart. Don't you know how life goes on? Desperately.
Talk Talk tribute album, der udkom for et par år siden, Inheritage. This album was compiled by Alan Wilder. Is that a way to say it?
You could say that.
Alan Wilder, former keyboard player in Depeche Mode, as mentioned a lot of times earlier in this show, also driving force in Recoil. You are actually Recoil.
I am.
Can I say that? Okay.
But I do. Yeah. I have a lot of other people.
We're going to finish off the show in a few minutes with the Depeche Mode song. I heard this story. I don't know if it's true, but Enjoy the Silence was originally made out as a ballad. And I've heard that you were the guy who suggested that it should have a beat. It's sort of a...
Yeah,
make it into a dance track. It's not really dance, but it's kind of up-tempo.
Yeah, this is true, actually. Martin presented the demo, and it was recorded just with harmonium, kind of organ thing, and his voice. And it had a very kind of plaintive, kind of slow ballad, you know, feeling about it. And something struck me about the melody. I could suddenly hear Neil Tennant singing it in the Pet Shop Boys, you know, and I could hear how they might do it. And I thought, well, we actually could give it a similar kind of treatment to that. And maybe we could make it a bit more commercial as a result. So we were in Puck Studios, in fact, which is in Denmark, for anyone who doesn't know. It's not too far from Aarhus, I think, a place called Ranners. And we spent quite a lot of time there working on the Violator album. And we'd also mixed Never Let Me Down there just before that for Music for the Masses. We had great experiences there, actually. We got a lot of work done because it's a residential studio in the middle of nowhere. So we didn't
There's
have
nothing
too many,
to do.
There's no distractions, you know. We would try to escape every weekend and get into Aarhus at least for a night out. But basically we were stuck there. So we thought, well, we better do some work, you know. And anyway, Flood and I said to Martin, get out of the room and leave us alone and we'll do something and you can come back and see what you think about our version. And we put together basically the sequence of part and the drums and a few other little bits and essentially had the version that everyone knows. And we said to Martin, come back, have a listen, what do you think? And he sort of went, I don't know. And then, but within half an hour, he goes, well, actually, I quite like this. And then he came up with the guitar riff for Enjoy the Silence, which we put on. And there you had it. And it actually came together. It was one of the quickest Depeche Mode tracks ever to come together. And that's always a good sign when that happens. You think, oh, yeah, something's right here. Mm. You know, there's some songs you just work, everything you try, you think, yeah, that works. Oh, that works. And before you know it, you've got the finished version. And that's how that one worked.
Yeah, and I don't know about the statistics, you know, and as I remember it, it's from 89, maybe?
I think we released the album in 91, but we probably recorded it around 89 or 90, yeah.
Because, but that was also what I would say, it brought Depeche Mode into the 90s.
Yes, I think so. That whole album really was a step forward, the Violator album. And I think it kind of really sums up that period, yes. Mm. Yeah, very well.
What was the reason for you leaving Depeche Mode?
It's a little bit complicated, but not, you know, people assume, oh, well, you know, you weren't getting along and all this. Making the last album was quite difficult. We locked ourselves away together in a villa in Madrid to record Songs of Faith and Devotion, and it didn't really work out, you know. We were living on top of each other. Dave was having a few problems at that time as well. And it was slow going and hard work. And it was at that time I thought, I'm not sure I want to make another album under these circumstances. So it was in my mind to leave at that time. But then we did a big tour afterwards. And I thought, well, if I'm still feeling the same way at the end of this tour, then I'll probably make that decision. And yes, I was still feeling that way. I wanted to do other things. The main reason, more than anything else, is that just when you get to a certain age, you don't really feel like being in a sort of gang, in a, you know, the whole democracy. I'd outgrown it in a way, and I don't wish to sound condescending about it because I value those years and I enjoyed the time, you know, and the success was fantastic and we had some great fun. But I wanted to really do something on my own and just control my own project in a way. So that's, I just thought, now's the time.
What are you up to right now? I know we're showing this movie tomorrow, yeah. Or you are in Empire View in Copenhagen.
That's right. Well, you know, we're in the middle of this screening tour where I appear and do the Q&A after the screenings, and that's taking up quite a lot of time. You know, I've been promoting the whole Blu-ray and the release of this film, which is going incredibly well, and I'm very happy about it. My plan is in the new year, Jeannie and I, Jeannie's in the room, by the way. She's not making as much noise as she usually does. Usually you can't shut her up. But she's been helping set up some of the events in Scandinavia for us. Yep. And we're also talking about maybe going over to the States in January to do a few over there. Mm. But once those have been done, my plan is to then work on some new music, which could be a film soundtrack, it could be an album, I don't really know yet. And that's part of the fun, not really knowing. As long as I get in the studio and actually make some new music, that's the most important thing.
Music for movies, I would say that would be great for Recoil. I think
I'm over
really great mood.
Yeah, I'm overdue really doing a proper soundtrack. Yeah. I've had some Recoil music placed in film quite a lot, but never really made specifically something for a film. So that's my next plan of action, I think. Mm. Maybe it'll be an album at the same time, I don't know.
Oh. Let's switch into Danish just for a second. Hvis du vil vide mere om Alan Wilder og se filmen A Stranger on Budapest, så er det altså i morgen aften, den bliver vist i Empire Bio, og der er interview bagefter, efterfest og det hele. Alan Wilder, a pleasure having you in the studio. We're going to end off with a Depeche Mode track of your choice.
Okay, well I'm going to choose one of my favorites. It's Walking in My Shoes from Songs of Faith and Devotion.
Try one.